Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We are continuing in our series, our foundation series. Every year when we come around to birthday, we go back and we talk about the mission and the vision that we just got done doing over the past 2 weeks. To love God, love people, that's our mission. And then the vision, fully loved, safe to heal, equipped to make a difference. And then this year, we talked about like, hey, you know, there's some other things that are really part of Hope City culture that have kind of been birthed out of the mission and the vision at Hope City that we want to just talk about and bring back around because they're important and they really are who we're about and they affect and they reflect our culture. One of my favorite things about Growth Track is that when we sit in here on a Saturday morning for Growth Track, and we talk to the people that are here, the first thing we ask them is like, tell us your name, tell us what brought you to Hope City, tell us what kept you coming back to Hope City, and why you're here today. Because there's a difference between coming to a place and then that's it, never coming back again, right? But there's something different that brings you here, but what keeps you coming back here. And some of the things that we hear from people are like, you know, it feels like home. People are real. I can be myself. Everyone is friendly. Those are all things that are a result of the culture of Hope City. And there's a few things for the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about the culture of Hope City and some of the things that have been birthed out of this culture that really have become part of our foundation right along with our mission and the vision. And this week, today, we're talking about next steps. We talk about this all the time, and we mention it all the time, that, hey, we should always be looking at what our next step is. Hey, what's your next step? Okay, great, you're here. Now, what's your next step? So what's God telling you? What is God telling you about your next step? God never intended for you and I to get to a certain place and then stop growing. He never said, okay, right there, like three steps ahead. Now that's where you stay until eternity. Right? He never said that. As a matter of fact, Paul, when he's writing to the church in Philippi, and this is going to be our anchor passage today, Paul gives us a great example of what it looks like to be pursuing Jesus through our lives. This is what Paul said. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Doesn't that sound fun? I don't mean to say that I have already achieved those things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 16, I am never, ever going to be satisfied with people not growing. Do you hear me? I am never going to be satisfied with people not growing. I am never going to get to the point where I'm like, you're okay just to stay there for a while. You're not. I will never tell you, those words will never come out of my mouth. Because of this very reason, we have never arrived until we are in eternity with Jesus. We should always be pressing forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead is eternity. And we should always be pressing forward to whatever that is. And that means we're taking steps of progress, right? In like the natural world, the physical world, if there's a child that is not growing or developing, what do? We take them to the doctor, right? If a child is not making the benchmarks of progress that they should be making, we start having a level of concern. If I have a child who's 18 months old and has not yet started walking, I'm going to be concerned, like something is going on. This child should be walking by this point. We need to take you to the doctor to find out why aren't you walking, right? Do you hear what I'm saying? The same rule applies to us in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual growth. If you can look back over the past year of your life and realize that right now you're in the same place you were last year at this time. You're doing the same things. You're hanging with the same people. You're having the same types of conversations. You're stunted. And it's time to seek some help. Growth track. No, sorry. Soul care. Soul care. This Saturday, 9 to 3. You should be there. If you're like, man, I am stunted. I'm not growing. Soul care is the place for you. An even more dangerous place is this. If you look back over the last year of your life and you realize that today you're like 5 steps behind where you were last year at this time, you need some help. The doctor is in. Do you remember that old Peanuts cartoon? The comic? Like Lucy? Lucy would always, she was like the psychiatrist, and she would have the sign in front of her saying like, the doctor is in. The doctor is in, his name is Jesus, and he wants to bring healing to you, and he wants to bring growth to you, and he wants you to get moving back forward to where you need to be. You need to be at Soul Care. It's time to do some hard work and start moving forward again. It's time to empty yourself in order to make room for all of God's presence, in order to experience exponentially more of him. It's time to crucify your sinful desires on the cross of Christ and bear good fruit. Did you see what I did there? I just tied in 3 years worth of themes into 3 statements. Did you see that? Keep moving forward, the forward movement, exponentially more, and bear good fruit. So, a couple of things today. First of all, what does my next step look like? What does it look like? What is my next step? How do I know if it's my next step? Well, here's what I can tell you about your next step. You will know it is your next step if it is, I'm giving you the answer, are you ready? Get ready. It's your next step if it is hard. Right? If it's hard, it's from God. If you can do it on your own, you're like, oh yeah, I could totally do that. That's not from God. Because God's never gonna give us a job to do that we could just do without him. What's the point of that? Where's the faith in that? Where's the relationship in that? God is only gonna give us a next step that requires us to step into his yoke and to do the work with him, alongside of him. It is impossible for us to take any step with Christ on our own. My next step is going to be hard. How do I know that? Because here's what Paul says in our anchor verse. When he says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I'll experience the resurrection from the dead. Suffering and death, that sounds easy, right? No, growing in our relationship with Christ, in the world that we live in the society that we live in, it's hard. Because there are things coming at us every single minute. Let's be real. Every single minute. And the desire of those things is to pull us away from the one who can keep us moving forward. Right? It is hard. Our next step is never going to be easy because growth is not easy. Have you ever experienced a child who's going through growing pains? Have you yourself? Do you remember experiencing growing pains as a child? Listen, I'm all of 5 foot two. I didn't have very many growing pains, okay? But there's some of you that have a little bit more height to you, and you can tell me, like, you remember waking up at night with pains in your body and in your muscles as your body is growing and stretching to accommodate the DNA that was put in you to reach the height that you are. It was painful, right? It hurts. Growth is hard work. But if we don't put in the hard work, we can never move forward. When I was in elementary school, in first and second grade, one of our projects at the beginning of every year was to gather, like to go out into this field that was by our school, and we would gather monarch butterfly caterpillars. And we put them in jars with milkweed, and we would watch them grow for a few weeks. We'd watch them eat the plants, and they'd get fat. And then they would like hang upside down in a J and start preparing their body for the change that was about to come. And then they would spin these beautiful cocoons, like this light mint green color. It had little gold on them. If you ever seen a monarch butterfly cocoon, they're chrysalis. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And then over the next couple of weeks, about 14 days, that cocoon starts to darken. It starts to get shady. And then you can start seeing the actual like black and orange of the wings of a butterfly shoved inside this cocoon as that caterpillar goes through this metamorphosis. And there's this beautiful thing that happens. As that butterfly starts to wake up from this sleep and starts to move, the chrysalis starts to crack. And that butterfly has some work to do to get out of that chrysalis. There is struggling. I mean, I remember sitting and watching a butterfly come out of this, and it was like hours from the minute that little chrysalis started to shake and crack until a butterfly finally emerged. It's like moving, trying to like get its wings out and crack that open. But there's this beautiful thing that happens as that butterfly struggles. All of the fluid and inflammation that has been in its wings, as it starts struggling and moving those wings, it pumps all of that fluid out of the wings back into the body where it can be absorbed. And so then when it comes out, it has these beautifully formed, wet and flat wings that are just ready to be dried so it can take off. And I remember my teacher telling us this: don't touch it. Don't help it. Because if you help it in its struggle, it will not live. It can't fly. And me being the rule follower that I was, I'd be like, don't touch it. Okay. And I would just watch it. But I had this friend. There's always that one kid, you know. And I was friends with everybody. And I remember him taking his pencil as this cocoon was breaking and this butterfly was struggling to get out of its out of its chrysalis. He takes his pencil in there, and I'm like looking around like, is anyone going to catch him? I don't want to tattle on him. But I was wondering, like, is someone going to like catch him? And they didn't. And he breaks off like parts of the cocoon. And the butterfly kind of like flops out and lands on the bottom of its jar. And its wings are just all shriveled up. And they're heavy. All of the fluid is still in there. And it can't even open its wings. It's just all shriveled up. It can barely even walk to carry the weight of the fluid that it's carrying in its wings. And as the rest of the butterflies are breaking out of their cocoons and spreading their wings open and flapping them to dry them, this little butterfly is just sitting on the bottom of the jar, where it eventually died because there was no strength in its wings to carry it off. We can't grow without the struggle. We can't build our strength for our next step without the struggle of the current step. We can't run from the struggle. We can't hide from it. We can't numb it. We have to walk through it and let God strengthen us as we break out in order to take that next step. So what prevents us from taking that next step? What prevents me from doing that? Well, failure to forget the past. Failure to forget the past causes us to stay stuck right where we are. Paul says this in our anchor verse. He said, down towards the end, it says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling. Paul's not saying, like, listen, your past is your past, the Hakuna Matata. That's not what he's saying, okay? Leave it in the past. Just forget about it. What he's saying is this: your past doesn't have to dictate your future. My past doesn't have to dictate my future. And furthermore, if I choose to hold somebody else's past against them, I am choosing to be stunted and to keep myself from moving forward. So not only do I need God to help me, like, not dwell on the things of the past, I also need to make sure that I mind my own business and let people's past be their past and let God work them through it and stop holding their things against them. In Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 19, God said this: remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Don't get me wrong. We can learn from our past. There are things that God wants to take us back to learn, to forgive, in order to move forward. But we don't have to stay stuck there. Maybe you're sitting here like, ooh, there's some things in my past. I might be like stuck. Soul care, Saturday, 9:00. See you there. Finally, our next step should always do this: bear good fruit. If we are taking the step that God has put in front of us, we can be guaranteed that we'll bear fruit on the other side of it. Our next step should always produce good fruit. That's our theme for this year, for 2024. The theme for Hope City is bear good fruit. And this is one of the passages we've been looking at. Galatians 5, verses 19 to 24. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, there's a period right after that. Paul says, "That's if this is the kind of life that you're living, then I should not be expecting to inherit God's eternal kingdom. If I can look back on my behaviors and be like, yep, check, I'm doing all of those things, then I should not be expecting to inherit eternity. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Here's where it gets tricky. You ready? "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there." The question that should be playing in my mind and your mind is this: what kind of fruit is my behavior producing? We can say with our mouth that we follow Jesus, but if our behaviors don't show it, where's the fruit? We can have feelings and desires that are absolutely not in line with God's plan for us. He's not going to just take away those feelings and desires. He wants us to do the hard work and crucify them to the cross. We have to die to our sinful nature daily. And when I say daily, I mean daily. When we wake up, we have to decide, who am I following today? Am I going to follow the desires of my flesh? Or am I going to say no and follow Jesus?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.